wonderful testimonies. They were very tangible testimonies. And somebody handled the scorpion and threw it down to the ground. I believe you killed it. Did you? Yeah. Somebody saw a snake looking at him and did no harm. So this scripture just came to my mind, Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The Lord is faithful. Praise the Lord. Amen. You welcome to this session of the service. Lord has laid my heart to share with you this morning. And before then, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your faithfulness, protecting us, shielding us, Lord, from every hurt. Lord, as we go into your word said, the entrance to your word gives light. Give us understand you, Lord, and the grace, O Lord, to take heed to your counsel in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit of distraction. We ask, Lord, at the end, O Lord, this word will profit each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. For our test, let's go to Psalm 1, verse 1 to 2. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We also similarly go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the law of the Lord. The Bible is God inspired, God breathed, and is for our edification, is for our correction, is for our instruction in righteousness. Amen? Amen. The Bible was written by 40 authors within this time span of about 1,500 years. They did not meet at a conference table. Say, oh, Joshua, you're going to write this. David, you're going to write this. Nothing like that. And yet, all the 66 books of the Bible, they are all in harmony with one another. If you don't understand in the Bible, you ask God for revelation, understanding. It isn't that there is mystic. The word of God is infallible. Amen. The word of God, the Bible, is our standard for testing everything else that claims to be true, especially in this last day. There are so many things, so many sayings that are said to be true. But we use the word of God as a standard to test whether it is. The Word of God is our safeguard against false teachings that are abounding in these last days. It is our source of guidance on how to live as Christians. It is our only source of knowledge on how to be saved. Amen. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. We're also going to read from Psalm 19. Psalm 19 tells us more about this Word of God we're talking about today. Psalm 19, verse 8 and 9. Well, let's start from verse 7. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. There's a song there, I feel like singing verse 8 and 10. It says like this: the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eye. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. As we study and read the Word of God, we get inspiration. In fact, each time you study the Word of God, each time you read the Word of God, always watch out for these four things. One, is there any instruction for me to obey in this passage I've just read? Is there any sin for me to repent of? Thirdly, is there any truth to believe and imbibe? And lastly, is there anything to pray for or desire? Our emphasis will be on the Word of God today, the Word of God itself. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God made manifest. Amen. A man of God has said that it is important to go through the Word, but it's more important that the Word goes through us. How does that happen? This happens when we have regular biblical meditation. So the topic today really is the importance of biblical meditation. The importance of biblical meditation. What is biblical meditation? This is the digestive faculty of the soul, which helps us to discover the way the Word can be part of us. The Word of God is meant to be part of us. The Word of God is not meant for a certain group of people, but for all children of God. This concept can be illustrated with ruminant feeding habits. What are ruminants? Ruminants are animals that chew the cud. The word ruminate comes from the Latin word ruminare, and it means to chew over again. These animals, deer, cattle, sheep, goats, and camels, all chew the cud. What is the cud? What they had fed on before that was not digested, but kept in one of their stomach compartments called the rumen. It's kept there. Then when they are now relaxed, you watch any of these animals. You see them queuing, and there is no food around them. What is happening? They are regurgitating what they had stored in the rumen. Amen? So when we talk about biblical meditation, we borrow symbology from, you know, the ruminants. They ruminate on the food that they ate. Regurgitate and then digest it properly. It's not enough to hear the word of God and then just go, maybe until Sunday again. In fact, when we're growing up, it used to be something that was not so desirable for somebody to just be going to church only on Sundays. You come to church today, won't see you again until next Sunday. It used to be something of the Orthodox Church in those days, the Roman Catholic in particular. But you see, it has crept into Christendom today. It's not supposed to be so. The word of God, we're supposed to ruminate over it again and again and on daily basis. Because what we read from Joshua and the book of Psalm, chapter 1, on daily basis we are to meditate on the word of God. Amen. Not every other day, not weekly, every day. Biblical meditation is the art of pondering, considering, reflecting on the scriptures. It is the art of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying oneself the various lessons about God, about his ways. When we meditate on the word, our minds will be full of deep thoughts about God. We meditate on his attributes. There were 30 Christians in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These Christians were taking special note of by Apostle Paul. Let's see what he did. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Verse 11 says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things be so. They didn't study it weekly or monthly or quarterly, but daily. If we just read or hear the word of God without meditation, it's like looking at a speck on our face, and same time we are looking at the mirror. You see a speck on your face. Normal thing is to remove it because you have seen it through the mirror. But assuming you look at that speck and you're looking at the mirror and you refuse to do something about the speck, what will happen? The speck will remain there. It's not supposed to be so. The word of God is supposed to purge us, cleanse us, and purify us. Amen? Yes. We find that in James chapter 1, 21 to 25. When you look at the mirror, the law of liberty, the law of perfect liberty, that's the word of God. When we look at it, it's supposed to correct us, tell us our shortcomings, tell us our weak points, tell us our strengths as well, and to build on those strengths, and then to repent of every weakness and ask God for strength to continue on the race. Let's talk about the benefits of biblical meditation. It's very important that we meditate upon the word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we are told that the word of God changes us. It transforms us from glory to glory. Amen. He's changing us. The word of God is changing us as we look unto it, as we meditate upon it, and as we obey the word of God, we are being changed from glory to glory. That's the desire of every Christian. Because God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow unto Christ's likeness. Don't you want to grow? Don't you want to become like Christ? That's one of the main purposes of the Christian life, that we want to grow and become Christ-like. And God does that one through his word. From glory to glory, he transforms us. May that be your portion in the name of Jesus. We also borrow some typology from butterfly, the metamorphosis of butterflies. Something happens before butterfly comes out in its beautiful colors. It wasn't like that from the beginning. There are four stages of the butterfly. The first stage is the egg stage. It's just like a meaningless substance, no, on the leaf. But later on, that egg transforms to become a caterpillar. That is very ugly looking creature. Caterpillar will be crawling on this. No? Something is going on. There's a process called metamorphosis happening. And that's not the destination. This caterpillar, even though it's not good looking, it soon changes into the pupal stage, chrysalis. And eventually, from that stage, it develops wings and colors. And then it's now ready to come out for display. Amen. And that's where you see the beautiful butterfly fly out. And everybody will admire the butterfly. Well, it goes through stages. God is working on you. Amen? He's working on me. But how does he do that? Through the word of God. You know, many of us, if not all, we grew up with this mentality that this Bible is for the clergy. The clergy, that is, the priests, and of course the pastors, the evangelists, and all the other ministers. But not for every other member. No, no. They are to interpret the word of God to us. You know, it's for them to read. But that's a great error. It's not right. Because during church history, you know, the Nicolaitan spirit came upon the church. And they divided the flock of God into two, the clergy and the laity. It's not supposed to be so. In the time of the apostles, it wasn't so. Everybody should take delight in the word of God, because it's God's love letter to us on how we should behave and live in this present world, and how we should aspire to become Christ-like. Amen. So please, I just want to make that clear. You are supposed to have a Bible and you're supposed to study it on your own. Meditate upon it regularly. Don't wait for the pastor to interpret. By the way, the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us understand the Bible as well. Through the word of God, we find that our minds are renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. If we ruminate on the word of God, if we take delight in the word of God, then it will do this in our lives. Our minds will be renewed. Now you are a child of God. Once upon a time, you were a sinner. You didn't know any better. But this time around, God has saved you and he wants you to grow. He wants your mind to be renewed. To have the mind of Christ, your mind needs to be renewed with the word of God. Romans 12, verse 2. The more we do this, the better for us. We get to know God better and better as we meditate on the word of God. We get clearer understanding of the word of God or topic or subject as we meditate on our own. We're not talking about family altar now. No, you and God and his word. Amen. We also get spiritual revelation or illumination from the Lord as we meditate upon his word. And meditating upon the word of God helps us to internalize the word of God. Ultimately, the word of God is supposed to be part and parcel of us, so that at any moment of temptation, the word of God comes, flashes back to our mind. The Holy Spirit will bring the word of God that has been stored in your heart to your mind to overcome a temptation. Jesus Christ was tempted, and the word of God came straight to him to overcome. When Satan tempted him, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into bread, because he knew that he was very hungry. Jesus Christ would have done that, but he didn't do so. The power of God is not for show up, but to vindicate, you know, the word of God. Amen. So when you store the word of God in your heart, through reading, through studying, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance at the hour of need. Amen. In Psalm 119, verse 9 to 11, we do well to read that too. It tells us about the importance of the word of God when we internalize it. It is what we read, it's what we store in our heart that is recapped when there is need for it. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer is given, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. When you hide the word of God in your heart, at the moment of temptation, the Lord will give you grace to overcome in Jesus' name. Hide the word of God. It's a deliberate effort. It's not what you are just hearing now. It's part of it. Quite all right. But you need to hear it again and again and read it again and again. The word of God helps us to bear fruit. God wants us to bear fruit. The word of God that we hear is supposed to bring fruit. There is the parable of the sower. A sower in those days in Palestine, they went out with a bag of grains. And as the sower went forth, he threw his grains just like this. Just threw them like that. It's planting. It's planting. Now there are four categories of hearers. Because the word of God is represented by the seed that the sower throws around like that. But there are four categories of hearers. Number one, the wayside hearers. You find this story in Matthew 13, 20 to 23. The first group, the wayside hearers. This one, they heard, they received the word quite all right. But what happened? The enemy came and removed the word of God from them completely. As if they never heard the word before. That's what the enemy does. You hear the word of God? The enemy. Don't allow the enemy. That is why you need to read again and again, meditate and again on what you heard. Otherwise, the enemy will just come. You just forget completely whether you ever heard that word of God. So, we don't want to be wayside hearers. Amen? The second group, the stony ground hearers. These ones, the word of God endured for a little while. But what happened? Over time, you know, the plants sprouted up, but the roots were not well developed. And then, because of persecution, because of cares of this world, because of lack of moisture, these ones, they soon gave up. They did not endure. You read details in that parable. There is the third group, the thorny ground. Some of the seed fell upon thorns. These ones, the seed germinated, sprouted for a little while, endured for a little while, but what happened? Cares of this life, cares of this world took the word away. Anxiety and worry took the word away. Deceitfulness of riches took the word away. And these ones, they did not prosper at all. In other words, all of them, they germinated, but they did not endure for too long. But the last category, those seeds that fell on the good ground. We are told those ones, they sprouted, they brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Amen. That's the kind of hearers we want to be. Those that the world will fall on fertile ground, the fertile ground of your heart. Let the word of God have place in your heart and bear fruit. Amen. Yes, allow, permit the word of God to bear fruit in your heart. Daily contact with the Lord through meditation keeps the snares away. There are so many snares, there are so many trials and temptations that come our way. But when you meditate upon the word of God, you'll be able to overcome each time. Amen. May the Lord give us grace, not only to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of it thereof, and we bear fruit in the name of Jesus. Let's talk about the time factor, because many people will say, you talk about meditation, Pastor, but you see, you know the nature of our jobs. You know, there's no night here, no day here, and so everybody work. I know. I understand. But it depends on you. You just have to give time for God. Amen. He has given you time as a blessing, just as he has given you talents and gifts. So God has given everybody time. It is the way you manage it. It's the way you manage this time that matters. If you say you don't have time for biblical meditation or the word of God, it is because it doesn't mean so much to you. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's my prayer that the Lord will help you to make Jesus as number one today in the name of Jesus. You will love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might in Jesus' name. There was a young man called Daniel in the book of Daniel. This man, he loved the Lord. And he made up his mind he was not going to allow the king's wine and drink, you know, to pollute him. He determined from day one. Probably around 16, and some of you are around that age today. Young Daniel, he made up his mind. You know what he was doing? Later on, we got to know in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, that this man had a habit. All those successes he had, overcoming the lions, giving revelation to the kings and monarchs of his time. No, it was because he had daily meditation with God. He had time to pray. 3 times a day, Daniel would go to a set place, a set time, and then he began to pray to God Almighty. That is why when they plotted against him, even when he had become a president, he was preferred among the presidents in the kingdom of Darius, the monarch of Medo-Persia Empire. First of all, when he was under Nebuchadnezzar, he was acknowledged, he was adjudged to be the best among all those, you know, who surrounded the king's palace. He was a man of wisdom, and God gave him revelation to interpret dreams. So he was elevated. In Belshazzar's time, that's the son of Nebuchadnezzar, he was also made a governor. He was a governor, a ruler. Amen? And then under Darius, he became president of presidents. But this fellow, other president, were jealous of him. Say, this man is always outshining us. This man is always having an excellent spirit. What can we do to demote him? That still happens today, anywhere, any day. People are always jealous. You've not done anything. You're only just doing your job. And people are jealous of you. It's not unusual at all. But face it like Daniel did. Daniel remained faithful to God. No, when there was a decree that for 30 days, no prayer should be made to any God but to the monarch at that time, said no, I'm going to be faithful to my God. He remained faithful. Where did he get all the time? He was not a mean fellow. He was a ruler, third in the kingdom, and then president of president and governor of governors during all these monarchs, reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. This man was in politics, and he found favor in the sight of God. but he had an excellent spirit. And he never deviated from those principles, because at the moment of testing, they acknowledged that this man was an upright man, faithful, and he loved God. God vindicated him. God will also vindicate you at such moments of trial in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what I'm saying today is to let us love the word of God the more. It is for us. Invest in the Bible. I know we have Bibles on our phones, but it's not the best thing to always read our Bibles there, especially in the church. While you are reading your Bible there, you know, a message can just come in from a friend. That's distraction of the devil. Is that good enough? So it's better to stick with this hard letter Bible, especially in the church. Amen. I'm not making a law, you shouldn't use your phone, but I'm telling you the merits of using phone. Why? In the service, because your attention will be drawn away from the Lord and from the word of God, and that's not good enough. Amen. When we talk about the word of God, we are talking about God himself, because the book of John chapter 1, we are told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. I'm going to cap it up with this special song I learned in the 80s when I was doing my youth service. And God brought it to my remembrance this time around. This song, I first read it for you to have understanding. Acres of diamond, mountains of gold, rivers of silver, jewels untold. All this together couldn't buy all your needs. But when he's within, you are satisfied. A heart that is contented, a satisfied mind. These are the treasures money cannot buy. If you have Jesus, there is more worth to your soul than acres of diamond and mountains of gold. So I want to sing it. I'm not a singer, but I can sing it. Acres of diamond, mountains of gold, rivers of silver, jewels untold. All these together couldn't buy all your need. But when it's waiting, you are satisfied. A heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. These are the treasures money cannot buy. If you have Jesus, there's more worth to your soul than acres of diamond, mountains of gold, than acres of diamond, mountains of gold. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, because your word, O Lord, is given to us, O Lord, to treasure. Lord, your word is love letter to us. Help us, O Lord. We have, O Lord, not been reading your word. We have not taken so much delight in your word enough. Help us this time around, O Lord. We'll get to love your law and your word in the name of Jesus. And as we do so, your word will transform us from glory unto glory. Your word, O Lord, will change us, O Lord, unto the likeness of God and his Son. Help each and every one of us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for everyone here, O God. Whatever is their need, O Lord. Father, as they make petition to you, even right now, O God, hear them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you are God who answers prayer. Return all the praise and all the glory to you, O God. In Jesus' precious name we pray.